Truth Seekers, Mike Malloy here. Wow, what a day, huh? How's your 401k this evening? Now, I'm not trying to be a smartass, but good Lord. We'll get to that in a second. I just want to tell you, this hour is sponsored by Kay Petrini. Kay is, of course, our economic... that's Bruce. Our education affairs correspondent. And she hasn't been corresponding a whole lot lately because, well, it's summer. But anyway, she has a message. She's sponsoring this first hour, and she has a message to her husband, Jim. She wishes him happy 21st anniversary, and she writes, Jim, we met during the Reagan years, married during Bush 1, and miraculously survived Bush 2. I couldn't have made it through without you. I love you, Kay. There you go, Jim. Thanks, Kay, for the sponsorship, and what a sweet message. 21st anniversary. I've seen them together, and I never would have guessed that. I would have thought they'd just been married maybe 6 months. Very nice couple. Willie Nelson will join us top of the next hour, I think. As you know, all this week and all next week, this program is underwritten by Farm Aid, Willie Nelson, Annie Nelson, and Bio Willie and the Sustainable Biodiesel Alliance. We'll talk about that a little bit, if not tonight, later on, possibly next week. We're going to have somebody come on and tell us what it's all about. I asked you last night if, check with Wikipedia, see what you could find on biodiesel. But, again, as I've been mentioning all this week, for the past 25 years plus, Willie Nelson of Farm Aid have worked to keep family farmers on their land for a number of reasons. And he's done that through, he's gotten publicity for those efforts and raised $40 million through Farm Aid concerts. This year's concert is Saturday, August 13th in Kansas City, Kansas. You can get information at farmaid.org, and on the 13th, on Saturday, the 13th, you can watch the concert live. And a personal message from the Farm Aid people: tell your senators it's time to support family farmers and ranchers. For decades, family farmers and ranchers who raise livestock have endured abuse from corporate giants that control the market. Visit farmaid.org and fill out the form to let your senator know you want them to support independent farms and ranches rather than corporate agribusinesses. Oh, my God. Isn't that a great idea? So check it out. Go to farmaid.org and fill out the form. It'll go to your senator. The stock market today hit over the past 10 days, it has been a steady decline, so that all the gains, so-called, for the gamblers that were accrued during this year are now gone. Everything's gone. And I would imagine it's going to continue to plunge. Things are really getting kind of hairy. This is not just here. There is, if you listen to some people who understand this far better than I and possibly far better than you, there is the beginning of a global economic meltdown that is occurring, and nobody knows how to stop it. There have been brilliant economists who have laid out plans as to how to prevent it. But what does your grandma tell you? What's that thing about an ounce of prevention and a ton of cure? Remember that? There have been people who have tried their goddamnedest about this economic meltdown to say, this is how we prevent this very catastrophe. Nah, we don't listen to that. Just like there are people right now saying, this is how we prevent global climate change to such a degree that we are going to goddamn die. Now, I don't mean you and me. Of course, everybody dies. But the entire planet. Nah, nobody's going to listen to that nonsense because it's not what? It's not in the Bible? Or because it interferes with the capitalists? I don't know. But we have two stark realities here. We have been warned over and over and over and over and over again and again and again. And we just ignore the warnings. Watch TV. I don't get this. The power grids, I was watching some network news tonight, the power grids in Texas are so strained that they're bringing old abandoned plants online, and there's a good chance the entire U.S. grid, if this keeps up, is going to collapse. Well, of course. I mean, it can't not collapse. Are you kidding me? We don't spend money on housekeeping. We don't take care of our nest. We just keep crapping all over in it. We're worried about Sharia law. Woo! Let's pass a law in Oklahoma to keep the Muslims from turning our legislature into a nest of Sharia law. Yeah, that'll take care of things. You sick bastard, you. The electric grid in this country is probably at its most fragile point right now ever. And for two reasons, obviously. First of all, for the almost total lack of maintenance over the past 35, 40 years in upgrading, repairing, replacing elements of that grid. We're going to have to, I guess we're going to have a major blackout before, and even then it won't make any difference because all these dumb sons of bitches who signed Grover Norquist's little no tax pledge will just say, well, let's cut spending. That'll fix the grid. let's stop, those feeding programs for women and children. Let them pull themselves up by their bootstraps. It's going to take a massive blackout, isn't it? It's going to take something like that, that is going to be borderline irreparable. One of those cataclysmic events where the engineers sit back and say, well, there's nothing we can do unless we start all over again. So the power grid, the fragility of the power grid, A. B, global warming. Yeah, global hotening, global, it's here. And I don't care how many of you people want to listen to these jackasses, whether they're political or religious or these fake science bull hockey creeps that say, oh, no, there's no global warming. It's all cyclical. Don't worry about it. Blah, 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 blah. This is madness. And you know what? I am, maybe you are too, just sick of being led and having policy decisions made by people who are in any other society would have been thrown the hell out of office or out of positions of leadership because they are absolutely nuts. And here we are being led by them. Decisions being made. The captain said, better wake up. Excuse me. Better wake up. The species has amused itself to death.
truth seekers, here's the truth speaker, Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. Tonight's program is underwritten in part by BioWilly and the Sustainable Biodiesel Alliance. Willie Nelson started BioWilly, a biodiesel company that mitigates the impact of greenhouse gases on the environment. It's a renewable and sustainable fuel which reduces dependence in this country on foreign oil. Ask your fuel supplier about BioWilly and when it will be available in your area. It's made in America and it stays in America. Kat Marion, Memphis, about the electrical grid, she writes, neither the Nuclear Regulatory Commission nor any of the U.S. nuclear plants have any plan in place for an electrical outage that lasts more than a week. Most of the existing plans assume that power will be restored within 24 hours. How about them radioactive apples? Kat Marion, Memphis. Which simply means when the electrical power goes down, and the power that goes into nuclear generating plants in order to keep the cooling pools working and so on and so on. Oh, that's right, the backup generators. I forgot about those. Yeah, how long do they last? Well, if they're gasoline or diesel, they last until the gasoline or the diesel runs out. And then what do you do? Well, you go to the gas, you get the gas people to come out and put some more in. Yeah, how are they going to pump it out of the ground if there's no electricity to run the pumps? What? If there's no electricity to run the pumps. Oh. There's no plan in place. Why should there be? That's just, you know, that's government interference. Of course, we, the government, we guarantee the financial viability of these plants. You are paying right now on your electric bill. And I don't care where you live. If you live in the United States and you are getting power from an electric company, in other words, you're not generating your own. If you're getting power from an electric company, you are paying for nuclear power plants once in future. Here in Georgia, we have charges added to our bill every single month to pay for the construction of nuclear power plants that haven't even been licensed yet, because the nuclear industry knows that the punk asses they have on the Nuclear Regulatory Commission are going to approve this. And capitalism only works when the profits are be divided. When the costs are be considered, it's all socialism. You sons of bitches. How much more of this are we going to do? How much more of this are we going to do? How much more? Come on, wake up. Wake the hell up. And by the way, with this horrendous plunge in the stock market, which means diddly squat to me. It's an indicator. You know what it means? It means that, well, it doesn't mean a lot of anything, except that capitalism is perched on a very, very, the edge, a very deep precipice right now. With just a little nudge, you know, it can go plunging into the abyss. We're seeing it. We're seeing it all over the planet. What's the backup plan? As far as the United States is concerned, since capitalism is not going to provide jobs, it's just not. Doesn't anybody get that yet? I don't care how much debt ceiling hog snot these Republican teabaggers and these cowardly Democrats gig around with in Washington. There are not going to be any jobs produced. Do you not get that? They're not going to happen. Why should they? The 1% that controls everything doesn't give a damn. There is no dedication to the American way of life. Are you kidding yourselves? So what does that leave? Well, it leaves leadership by the government. Who's the government? Oh, well, Barack Obama. He's the executive, chief executive. When Congress comes back, when do they come back? A month? When they come back, what Obama ought to do is present to the Congress a jobs program that is modeled on the WPA. And then he ought to get his hesitant ass in front of the American people and say, this is what I have submitted. This is what it's going to take. Because capitalism has failed. It has failed. Corporate America is turning its back on you. They are sitting on trillions of dollars and they will not provide jobs. Period. It's not going to happen. When are you going to wake up? When are you going to wake up to this? When are you going to wake up? When are you going to wake up and say, well, you know, that may be true. So if capitalism won't do it, that leaves socialism. That leaves the government. That leaves jobs that would employ 10 million people a week from now working on the infrastructure, working on those projects that have to be done. You think it's going to happen? What do you think? There's a foot race right now. The abyss or getting back to normal? What do you think?
The Flying Monkey Right. It's Mike Malone.
Oh, my daddy once told me 25 before the hour. So, since capitalism is not going to provide jobs, who's going to do it? Well, you know, we have 16 million American workers who are ready to go to work tomorrow morning. We just need some leadership, and it's not going to come from the business community. Capitalism has finally said, look, we're through with your little tacky 50 states over here. Really? You know, we're through with it. We can get everything we need and no hassles somewhere else. So, adios, goodbye, thanks for all the fish. They're gone. So, what does that leave? Well, it leaves government, small businesses, to solve the problem. It's still solvable. This hour is sponsored by Kay Petrini, our education affairs correspondent, like I mentioned. And she has a message here to her husband, Jim. It's their 21st anniversary. And she writes to Jim, "We met during the Reagan years, married during Bush 1, and miraculously survived Bush 2. I couldn't have made it through without you. I love you, Kay." Oh, that is so sweet, isn't it? Well, good for you, Kay. And good for Jim. And thanks for the sponsorship. Why? What kind of a alien curse do we have on this country that just seems to continue and continue and continue? I mean, it's like, I don't know, some spaceship hovered over the U.S. and just said, I think I'm going to make these people go insane, all 330 million of them. No leadership. What's the president going to do? Did you hear? He's going to take a bus tour. He's going on a bus tour of the Midwest through the month of August to talk up his job creation efforts and Try to shore up political support in battleground states. Yeah, well, that's right. The president has an election coming up. Yeah, that's right. He wants to serve another 4 years. That's the central theme of the bus tour, is Barack Obama's jobs program, which is to guarantee him a job for an additional 4 years as chief executive officer of the United States. Mr. President, you don't have to do that. I mean, you'll have more jobs waiting for you when you leave the Oval Office, whether it is in 2012 or 2016, the job will still be there. Don't worry about it. But a bus tour? Jesus, God in heaven, a bus tour? Where are we, in 1958? Oh, that's right, Sarah Palin. Yeah. Sarah Palin took a bus tour, too, didn't she? How's that bus tour working out, thingy working out for you there, oh, ex-gov? Huh? How's it working out? What happened? A bus tour? When the country is just absolutely poised to crash and burn, literally, and our leader is going to take a bus tour. Well, you know, what can he do? Really, what can he do at this point? Prevention is worth an infinite amount of cure, and the prevention that has been offered where it concerns several really serious life-ending crises facing the people of this country and the people of the globe have been ignored. You know, no matter how serious it is, you know, this horrendous famine that's occurring in Somalia right now. You've been following that? The images on television? ABC sent Mr. Handsome, what's his name? David Muir. Is that guy gorgeous or what? They sent David Muir over there for about 4 or 5 days, and he got all this stunning video of people dying and flies eating them and children evaporating into air. And he was anchoring tonight on ABC, and he said that through the efforts of showing that the generous Americans had raised almost, or did he say almost? Maybe not. $100,000. Wow, $100,000 to aid the dying children of Somalia. Really? That much? Gosh, you're Rudy. $100,000. Well, that's really cool. But where are Americans supposed to get the money? We don't have any money here for our own starving children. And how much of that $100,000 do you suppose came from the hedge fund operators who are bleeding this country to death? How much? How much? You know what $100,000 is to somebody that makes $100 million a year? Nothing. It's a rounding a number. It's a rounding error. You know, $100,000. If you're making $100 million. Oh, please. And what about all those successful African states that produce so much oil? What did I read? Was it Nigeria? There's a UN report that says Nigeria, as a viable environment, has totally collapsed because of the pollution from American and English and Dutch oil companies that have been milking that country dry, only not dry. The environmental pollution, the oil that has seeped into the environment, it is now, what is it? What did I hear on the BBC today? 3 or 4 centimeters deep. I don't think they said over the entire country, but I mean, my God! And yet the people of Nigeria are starving to death. Oh, no. Not the rich ones. No. Not the ones who are in the upper percentage. I'm talking about the ones who hang out near the oil pipelines and try to steal enough oil so they go sell it on the black market to get enough money to feed their families. So we have all the, and all this stuff is solvable. Are you aware of it? We have not yet reach the point, I don't think, where we cannot step back from the the brink of extinction here. We're right there. We're poised right there. And we've got pieces of human crap like Grover Norquist and the rest of these people just wanting that they are suicide. They wish for their own death, only they want everybody else to go with them. These people are so anti-life, anti-planet, I'm talking about all life, everything. No, we could step back. At this point, we could still step back. It would require cooperation on a global scale. It would mean all sorts of bad things. You know, the Americans sitting down with the Chinese, sit down with the Russians, who sit down with the Palestinians, who sit down with the Israelis, who sit down, you know, and say, look, why don't we declare, just for the sheer hell of it, let's declare just a half century moratorium on all the bull crap that is the politics of this planet. Political politics, environmental politics, weather-related politics, food politics, war. You know, let's just declare a 50-year moratorium and let's sit down. Let's get all of our people together. Isn't this funny? Listen to Malloy. Let's get all of our people together, all of our brilliant people. Let's have our engineers and our scientists, and let's include our writers and our poets and our artists, and let's include our economists, the ones that make sense. And let's everybody sit down here and solve this. Because it is still solvable. But it's not going to be solvable much longer. You get that, don't you? You get that. But no. That would require something that human beings are not hardwired to do. And that is to accept unequivocally members from the tribe over there in the other end of the jungle. And that would require saying, okay, well, I don't like the way these people look, but, you know, if they die, I'm going to die. And if I die, they're going to die. So I guess I'm going to have to sit down. Nah. We didn't make it that far up the evolutionary ladder before we discovered all the wonderful toys that we could destroy ourselves with. And that's a shame, because we got to the destruction level before we got to the cooperation level. And oops, big ol' oops, huh? Come on, Willie. I got to have Willie Nelson come on the program and just talk for a while. I guess we got about 20 minutes. Stay with us.
It's more Mike Malloy.
This hour has been sponsored by Kate Petrini in honor of her husband Jim and their 21st anniversary. And she writes, we met during the Reagan years. She writes to her husband, we met during the Reagan years, married during Bush 1, and miraculously survived Bush 2. I couldn't have made it throughout without you. I love you, Kay. How sweet. Thanks, Kay. Kay Petrini, our sponsor this hour. And again, the program tonight, all this week and all next week, is being and has been underwritten by Farm Aid Live and Biodiesel. Farm Aid 2011 is coming up Saturday, August 13th in Kansas City, Kansas. That's where the concert is this year. And it's, this is the, 26th year, I think? Since 1985, Willie Nelson and Farm Aid have worked to keep family farmers on their land. For other reasons you might think. And Farm Aid has a request. Go to their website, farmaid.org, and there's a form there. Fill out the form to tell your senators it's time to support family farmers and ranchers. For decades, family farmers and family ranchers who raise livestock have endured abuses from corporate giants that control the market. Huh? This is not news to you, Truth Seeker. So fill out the form and let your senator know you want to support independent farms and ranches over corporate agribusinesses. Doesn't that make sense? Doesn't that make sense? Do you know how much pollution comes from these massive factory farm operations? The animal feces that goes into the water table from having tens of thousands of these creatures just, oh, Jesus, I can't get into it, or I you know, put me off my feed for a month. Farmaid.org. Close out this hour. In the Nation, their editorial in the is it the current issue? Yeah, August 1st to the 8th. As the partisan fight over the debt ceiling approached the August 2nd deadline, Obama presented Republicans with what, at almost any other time in recent history, would be seen as a conservative's dream. Obama did that. $4 trillion in spending cuts over 10 years and the offer to restructure core pieces of the Democratic legacy, including Social Security and Medicare. Republican House Speaker John Boehner walked away from the deal not because the cuts weren't deep enough and steep enough, but because they would be achieved in part through tax increases on hedge fund managers, private jet owners, and oil and gas companies. The Republicans have once again shown themselves to be a party, to paraphrase Nobel laureate Joseph Stiglitz, a party of the 1%, by the 1%, for the 1%. It is a party that accepts no new taxes, no closing of loopholes, no crackdowns on overseas tax havens, and no increase in corporate tax rates, even as the biggest corporations pay little or no taxes on billions in profits. It is a party that embraces savage cuts in the social safety net, but then draws a line in the sand to protect the wealthy. To Republicans, shared sacrifice is anathema. And now, as before, the global economy may be their victim. And it goes on. But do you, why do you vote Republican? What is it? Is it because you want them to adopt an amendment to the Constitution, a balanced budget amendment, or the gay folk can't get married amendment? Is that all your miserable goddamn life is about? Is that why you vote Republican? Because your worldview has gotten down to that? Well, you have blinders made out of Bibles? What is your problem, Mr. or Ms. Conservative? Ms. Bagger or Mr. Teabagger, Republican? What is going on inside your head? Is that it? A balanced budget amendment? You don't have a goddamn clue what that means or what impact it would have on your life, but because you have heard these demagogues on Fox and these radio shows pounding this into your head for 25 years because it benefits them, not you. You believe it? You're willing to destroy the future for your kids, your grandkids, yourself, hell, I don't know, the entire rainbow of species on this planet just to stop gay folk from getting married? Are you out of your goddamn heads? Are you totally mad, insane, gibbering crazy? That's what it's gotten down to? Because if gay folk marry, as Rick Santorum said, what's next? Man on dog? Are you that stupid? Oh! Well, the door hasn't shut yet. I'm talking about the door to global extinction. It hasn't closed yet. That door's still open. And it's closing, but it hasn't shut and locked. And by the way, it has an automatic deadbolt on it. Once that door shuts and that deadbolt slides in, that's it. Gather your children, gather your friends, gather your nieces and nephews. Pick up your Quran or your Bible or whatever the hell you use to get yourself through the night. And sit quietly and wait for the end.
Or stop the deadbolt from going in to begin with.
The Malloy Program. Thanks for tuning in or sticking around or whatever you decided to do. I know that was a pretty nasty first hour, wasn't it? This hour and the entire program tonight is underwritten, and the rest of this week and all of next week, underwritten by Farm Aid 2011, Willie and Annie Nelson, and the Farm Aid organization since 1985. They've worked to keep family farmers on their lands because family farmers are, what do you think, best resource for decent food, better health, and a strong economy. This year's concert is Saturday, August 13th in Kansas City, Kansas. You can go to their website and watch it live. Farmaid.org is the website. Saturday week. Also, if you go to that website, between now and then, you'll find a form that you can fill out to let your senators know that it's time to support family farmers and family ranchers rather than these hideous, disease-loaded, massive factory organizations that continue to make us all sick, sicker, sickest. You know, they so often you hear people talk about how the United States, we spend more money than any other country for medical stuff. And when you look at our diet, is there any reason to, I mean, is there any reason it shouldn't be that way? When's the last time you heard about a family farmer or a family rancher saying, let me see what I can do to make everybody sicker in hell here. Let me figure out a way to kill and poison people. Well, you know, no, you don't hear that. So anyway, Farm Aid 2011. It's been going on this for 26 years, so support it. However you want to do that, support it. We're going to talk to Willie Nelson now. Hey, Willie, thanks for joining the program tonight.
Hey, Mike. It's good to hear you.
Hey, good to hear you. First of all, let me thank you and Annie for the underwriting this program all this week and all next week. We appreciate that very much. And
well, you're doing a great job, and I know you got a lot of listeners out there, so just keep giving them hell.
as long as I can, Willie. What, you know, I've been talking to people over the course of this week, mentioning when I've been reading about Farm Aid and biodiesel, that I remember back in the 80s, during the Reagan years, when farmers were going bankrupt and their farms were being sold at auction and people were committing suicide. And it was at that period in there that you decided to put together Farm Aid. How are things different over the past 26 years?
Well, unfortunately, not any better. I knew a lady, her name was Mona Brock, and her job was to talk to farmers who were losing their farms, and it was more like a suicide watch. And she did a great job. She's passed since then, but, you know, those were the beginning of a lot of bleak years for the farmers, and it's not any better.
Mm-hmm. Is it our political system? Is it the way we look at food production in this country? What is it that has made it so difficult for family farmers to survive? Other than the obvious, I mean, these huge, massive agribusinesses that just come in and ruin everything. But why is this such an issue? Why are farmers? Family farmers in the position that it requires a Willie Nelson to step in and try to help them?
Well, that's a mystery. Why our government can't see the value of the small family farmer and how he eats and he drinks the water off the land. It's important to him to keep the land fresh, and it's important to us to have our food good and fresh, and we need a family farmer out there to grow our food. And it's just that simple. A corporate farmer has no idea really of how much he's damaging the land, not only his land, but for the farmer next door to him trying to do the right thing.
Mm-hmm. You know, I have to admit, I didn't know that you wrote Crazy. And I was listening to it the other day, and I thought, dear God, how old is Willie Nelson?
Well, you know, the original title of that was Stupid.
Stupid?
Just kidding.
Well, when I listened to that and I thought, man, that's from my childhood. I can remember my parents listening to the radio and hearing that song on the radio. But over the course of all that time, where you have been providing so much for so many Americans on so many levels, entertainment, your activism, your just being there, I guess, where how do you see things the way they are now? Are you generally optimistic, Willie? Are you not so optimistic? What?
Well, I'm a born optimist, and I believe in positive thinking. And, yeah, I think there is a light at the end of the tunnel. It may be the proverbial freight train. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But I do believe that enough people want to see things go the right way. They want to help their fellow man. They do believe in do unto others as you want them to do unto you. It's kind of mingled into all the philosophies all over the world. So, yeah, I believe the people want the right thing, but there is that element that you know, mm-hmm. And I know, that make more money off of war than they do in peace.
Yeah. You know, I was, to take this down to a little bit of a personal level, I was impressed and surprised, to put it mildly, that something you heard on this program inspired this song that you wrote, Come Back Jesus. I mean, please.
Just... Well, I was listening and I remember exactly what you said. You said, I think you were just kind of angry there.
Yeah,
said,
yeah, really.
Jesus, come on back, Jesus, and kill these bastards. And, and I said, hey, he's got a good idea, but he better bring John Wayne or Tom Mix or somebody with him.
Tom Mix. Oh, my God. I played it on the program last night. I have to tell you, I like that song. That's very catchy. When are you going to release it? When are you going to get it out there?
It'll be out in maybe a couple of months now. I'm just finishing up the album. I've got a a lot of my good buddies on the album singing with me, Ray Price and Sheryl Crow and Jamie Johnson and my son Lucas, and a bunch of us are singing on Come On Back Jesus, and we got a lot of, my son Micah even wrote a verse for it, and he's singing on it.
I'll be darned. What do you expect, what kind of a crowd, what kind of enthusiasm, how is Kansas City treating this concert coming up the 13th? What do you expect is going to be the outcome here?
Well, you know, 25 years now, or 26, however long it's been, we've been doing these. And one thing that musicians who travel up and down the highway know, farmers, and how the people are really feeling about things. And so we were the first to realize there were a huge problems out there that needed to someone to bring attention to it. Mm-hmm. So me and a whole bunch of musicians have been doing Farm Aid for 25 years, and thousands, hundreds of thousands of people have showed up and donated, showing that a lot of people see the problem and they're trying to help. Mm-hmm. It's just trying to get the coverage that we need, and well, you know the problem.
Can you, I've got to do some commercials. Can you hold on just for a couple of minutes and come back for just a couple more minutes, a couple more things?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, let me put you on hold, Willie, and we'll be right back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Come on back, Jesus. Come on back, Jesus. And pick up John Wayne on the way. The world's not gone crazy, and it seems to get worse every day. Pick up John Wayne on the way. Time to take off the gloves. They just don't respect peace anymore. But if you have old John Wayne, we know he can swing from the floor. Well, he kicks their butts, but just stand there and watch him.
For feeling so lonely, I'm crazy.
I love this song. You know, I have to tell you, Willie, this is one of my favorite country songs. I just love this song.
Thank you.
I had no idea. Like I said, I learned just the other day that you wrote it, and I'm just like, what? Are you touring now in preparation for Live Aid or for Farm Aid?
Well, I'm just touring, you know. That's just what I do most of the year. Last night we were in Billings, Montana, the night before in Missoula, and Lyle Lovett was on the show with us the last couple of nights, but now we're in Detroit Lakes and headed on down to Kansas City.
So the plan is to wind up there just about the time of the concert.
Right.
What kind of crowds are you getting? Times are tough right now, and a lot of folks are staying home for obvious reasons. What kind of folks are you getting out at your concerts?
Well, fortunately, with people like Dave Matthews and John Mellencamp and Neil Young and Ray Price and Jamie Johnson, Jason Mraz, all those guys, they can sell tickets.
Yeah.
You know, so.
I guess they could.
That's our big draw, is the artists, and the people get to see a good show and know that their money goes to a good cause. And so I think that's why they're always a sellout.
That's great. One thing I do know about your concerts, the tickets are always affordable for folks who want to go, which I've just got to tell you how much I respect that. I used to be in the music business a long time ago in a different lifetime, and I know what goes into determining, how you're going to pay for the massive expenses that you get on tour, especially on tour, but when you do a concert like this. So, my congratulations to all of you folks for continuing to keep it where folks can come. You know, I got to ask you about Biodiesel and Bio Willie. When I saw Bio Willie, I thought, what in the hell is this? Bio Willie is, it sounds like it's not legal, you know? I mean.
Well, yeah, I guess so. But hopefully it still is, or maybe it'd sell better if it wasn't.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Bio Willie and the Sustainable Biodiesel Alliance. Tell us a little bit what that is, if you got a second. Go ahead. Tell us what Bio Willie and Biodiesel, what this is about.
Well, the whole idea is for the farmers to grow first our food, and then they can take our food and turn it into fuel through the vegetable oils, etc. And there are just so many things that our farmers can do. Sustainable biodiesel is food and fuel that's grown in your area, so that it doesn't cost all that money to transport it, and the environment is not hurt with the gas and everything, the fumes coming down, bringing it down 1,500 miles away. Mm-hmm. Usually when you look at your breakfast in the morning, everything there came from over 1,500 miles away, mm-hmm. and it doesn't need to be that way.
I understand that biodiesel includes waste, vegetable oil, animal fats like tallow, lard, yellow grease. Good God. Algae can be grown using waste materials like sewage. And that can go into the production of biodiesel. That's correct, right?
Yeah, there's so many things out there that we can grow naturally in our country can produce that will turn into fuel, solar, hydrogen, all those great things, biodiesel. Mm-hmm. So we just have to start thinking that way. And I think out of necessity, a lot of us are.
I wonder how long it'll be before folks in government start to realize that hemp oil and the production of hemp could be used for the production of biodiesel. As a matter of fact, I think there was a time in this country when hemp oil was used for specifically that. It's a shame that everybody went crazy about that and drifted away from it.
Well, it became competition for the petrochemicals. Everything that is made out of petro now used to be plastics. Now used to be made out of hemp. Mm-hmm. Declaration of Independence was printed on hemp. George Washington grew hemp and mm-hmm. smoked it. And there's just so many ways that, and marijuana, which is legal in several states now medicinally, mm-hmm. Would also be a great kick to our economy if we started taxing and regulating it instead of letting all the drug dealers make the money.
Oh, good Lord, yes. Years ago, I read a story here in Georgia about the largest untaxed cash crop in Georgia, and I'm talking 30 years ago, was the production of marijuana plants. I happen to know several growers, some farmers. They were most of them were country people. At one time in their lives, they might have been involved in corn or soybeans or cotton or what have you, but had switched over. And I can't say I blame them. You got another minute, or do you have to go?
Oh, I'm in no hurry at all.
All right, let me put you on hold again, Willie, and we'll do pay some more bills. We'll come back and chat some more. We're talking with Willie Nelson. Stick around.
But we sure had fun the last time that we were down there. And when we woke up, you had that weird tattoo, and somebody had curled my hair.
On the road again.
5 before the hour. Willie Nelson is on the road again, and he's also on the phone here with us talking a little bit about Farm Aid. Coming up Saturday, August 13th in Kansas City, Kansas, you can watch this concert live by going to farmaid.org. Farm Aid and Biodiesel are underwriting this program all this week and all next week. And when you go to farmaid.org, there's a form there you can fill out, excuse me, to let your senator know that it's time to support family farmers and ranchers. There's an awful lot of support, and it's the wrong kind, that goes to these agribusinesses and the mega farms and all the pollution and garbage and crap that they do. So check it out. Go to farmaid.org now and look around, fill in that form, send it to your senator, and then come back on Saturday, August 13th for the concert. Willie, you and I have something in common. I've got to bring this up because I want to ask your advice, if you don't mind. Both of us have had children over the when we were past the age of 60. I've got a 7-year-old daughter now, and I know you have teenage kids, don't you?
Right.
What advice you have from one over the age of 60 to add to another? How in the hell do you handle these kids when you're getting old, and they can kind of look at you and say, "You got to be kidding me."
Yeah, and they're usually right. We usually are kidding them.
That's
and
true.
They don't take us serious, and they say, "Well, hell, he's old. What could he know?" And they go on about their business.
So the advice should be just sort of hang on or let go or just be a decent dad.
Just sit back and watch it and laugh a lot.
It is a blessing, isn't it? I mean, having kids when you're past 60 is different from having kids when you're, you know, when you're 30 or in your 20s. I don't know what it is. Molly, my 7-year-old just brings an awful lot of fun into my life, and I'm sure you can say the same.
Yeah, and my kids, you know, I have two young boys now, and they're just coming out of teenagers, and they're both musicians, and they play good. One of them's a good artist, and I'm proud of them, and it's nothing better than having some kids who turn out good.
It's different, I think, the way an older parent, usually it's a dad, the way an older father, you know, biology is destiny sometimes. It's different the way an older father would be a little bit more laid back, a little bit less frantic about their offspring when you hit a certain age. Men of a certain age, I think, are a little bit more relaxed when it comes to all that parent stuff that you have to do, and you got to be very careful. it's real hard. I've got a bunch of kids. I've got them all ages, Willie. I've got grandchildren, and then I have 7-year-old Molly, and it's just amazing how different times and what was going on those different times. I don't care if it was the music. I don't care if it was the politics, what passed for art or whatever. The way things change and the way you raise your kids. It's just...
Yeah, and we're lucky to have kids. We're lucky to have kids at any age, but at our age, to have young kids and old kids, we're pretty damn lucky.
I think so. I'm real honored that you took time to talk to us tonight. I'm kind of running out of things to say. What I'd like to do, I can't say on the radio, but, just kick back and have a beer with you or something. But you're there. I'm here. I just hope that, the Farm Aid is as big a success this year as it always has been. I know it will be. And I want to thank you and Annie for your support of this program, for underwriting the program like the two of you have and Farm Aid has. We were just kind of shocked when out of the blue we get an email from your wife, laying out what she wanted to do where it concerned sponsorship. And I thought, at first I thought, this is one of my friends, trying to trick me.
We're big fans and, we really believe in what you're doing. And, we advertise you every chance we get and talk about you, listen to you. You're on this bus a lot, so Just know that. Also, I don't know, one more thing, I don't know if you want to talk about it or not, but a little while back, I got in a little problem down there in Texas, and I got busted for pot. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And so I said, well, we have the tea party. Why don't we have a teapot party? So I started the teapot party. So if you get a chance to check it out.
Teapot party. Have you got a website? You got a website?
Yeah, just look up Willie Nelson Teapot Party and you'll find out. It started out as about a half joke, and now it's gotten so popular. There's all over the United States and every country, there's chapters.
I'll be damned. Well, you know, that and now that you brought it up, that is an issue that has bothered me for an awful long time. I'm in the generation that smoked reefer, when I was, probably when I shouldn't have, but as a young adult, I don't have any problem with it. I've never done hard drugs, never will, but this craziness about when you take a look at the prison population in this country, that's bad enough. But when you consider how many people are in jail for possession or ownership of marijuana, it's just astonishing to me. I can't believe that we've got that crazy. And I guess it was back in the 70s when these draconian laws were passed that if you go out and smoke a weed, for God's sake, you have a chance to go to jail.
Well, you know, and as amazing as it is, the other day, Pat Robertson came out in favor. He said it's senseless to send a teenager into prison for smoking a joint because he'll come out a hardened criminal when he gets out of there. Mm-hmm. And it's just too harsh a penalty.
It is. I wish there was some way. There are several organizations that work with the families of people. Regular, normal, decent people who got busted on marijuana charges, and the impact and the horrible effect that has on their families. I know there are several organizations that work with families of people who are still in jail for the fact that they might have had several ounces of weed on them 5, 8, 9, 10 years ago. It's just astonishing. I wish there's so much that I wish this country would lighten up about, and that's certainly one of them. These crazy drug rules are just drug laws are just insane. What's
yeah,
that?
And the kids have to live with that the rest of their life, wherever they go for a job application or whatever.
Right.
It comes out that they have a criminal record, and it does matter.
What is it, Willie? Look up Willie Nelson Teapot Party.
Teapot Party.
I'll do it. I like that Teapot Party. I like that. I like that.
I wrote a song called "Roll Me Up and Smoke Me When I Die." I'll have to send you a copy of that.
Please do. Roll me up and smoke. All right, Willie Nelson. Thank you, sir, for taking time out tonight. Okay.
My pleasure, Mike. We're listening.
All right,
keep going.
Sir. Take care. My best, Annie. Y'all take care.
All right.
All right. Bye bye. Roll me up and smoke me when I'm gone or when I'm dead. When I die? Is that what? Roll me up and smoke me when I die? How can you not love Willie Nelson? Huh? That's impossible. Well, anyway, we do appreciate, by we, I mean the entire Malloy organization, all both of us, do appreciate. God, it feels good to just laugh again, to sit down with somebody, even though we're about 900 miles apart, and just kind of BS and just laugh. Man. We ought to ask him over for coffee. Right. Us and about 10 million other people like to do that, right? But it's very kind of Farm Aid folks to underwrite the program like they have. And we appreciate it. We're going to have some other people on next week from biodiesel, at least, and maybe somebody else from Farm Aid. I don't know, entertainer maybe, somebody that's on the bill. I'm not sure, but we may do that. So that would be fun, Kathy. If you can work that out, that'd be fun. All right, we have a break coming up. When we come back, we're just going to go all nasty and ugly again. you know, the usual Malloy program. Sometimes back in the day when I used to be, you know, I'd try to find work after getting fired or have whatever company I was working for, network I was working for went bankrupt or belly up, whatever, and putting together audition tapes to send out to try to get somebody to hire me. And Kathy and I would sit for hours listening to stuff that we'd recorded. And after, you know, after about an hour, hour and a half of listening to this, we had to continue because we had to find excerpts to put on an audition tape. But after listening about an hour and a half, we'd look at each other and say, who in the hell would listen to this, much less hire you? Do you realize how negative you sound? Yeah. All right, we'll be back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
If I ever deceive her, she'd be gone before I could count ten. Well, I guess that I didn't believe her, 'cause look at the trouble I'm in. She's gone, 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 gone. Crying won't bring her back. The more I cry, the faster the train flies. I can't see how it can be anything for me. What's mine?
He's the voice inside your head. It's Mike Malloy.
10 before the hour. All right, where were we? Well, that's right. We were enmeshed in trying to figure out what the hell to do next. And this would probably be a good time. Oh, I know what I wanted to do. I wanted to do it at the top of the hour, but we had really important stuff. The jury in Texas, in San Angelo, Texas, has convicted Warren Jeffs, the Mormon sect leader, Warren Jeffs, of child sexual assault. He was convicted today. And according to the Associated Press, he was 55 years old. He stood stone-faced as the verdict was read. This means now if he ever gets out of prison, he's facing life in prison. But what it means is he is now a registered sex offender. And I think that is beyond appropriate. You know, you don't if you're a 50-year-old man, I guess he was at the time, and you have sex with children, I don't give a tinker's damn what your religion is. You're going to jail, bud, at some point. Prosecutors used DNA evidence to show that Jeffs fathered a child with a 15-year-old girl. He played an audio, the prosecutor played an audio, I told you about this last night, of what they said was Jeff sexually assaulting a 12-year-old. They also played audio recordings in which this bastard was heard instructing young women on how to please him sexually. He faces life in prison. And it's up to the jury. I guess the judge can overrule one way or the other, can sentence to shorter period of time or longer period of time, but it's now up to the jury. The jury went immediately into sentencing proceedings, and they had deliberated on the verdict for right around 3 hours. That's all it took. God. Prairie 2, I guess we're going to have to wait until after the break. He has his missive tonight, Journey to the Center of the Earth. Oh, God, can't wait to read that. See, normally I don't read his stuff until I read it on the air. I don't read it ahead of time. That's why you hear me stumble around sometimes. Prairie 2 sometimes doesn't use his spell check or whatever, and I have to pick through some of his sentences to get the gist of it. Not often. I mean, you know, he's a good writer, but when I read his essay over the air, or his report, or whatever we call this that he sends in, on a regular basis. I haven't read it beforehand. I haven't taken a look at what he's written. I just walk into it. Okay, here's Prairie 2. This is what he's got to say. That's why sometimes I kind of stumble around, because I may not agree with everything he says. And of course, the feeling is entirely mutual. He sent me an email tonight, told me to calm down about the electric grid. There's no problem. Hog's not. There is a big problem. But anyway, the other thing here I want to get to when we come back, a federal judge has ruled that mass killer and former defense secretary Donald Rumsfeld can be sued personally for damages to a former U.S. military contractor who said he was tortured during a 9-month imprisonment in Iraq. The lawsuit lays out a dramatic tale, it says here, of the disappearance of the then civilian contractor. He's an Army veteran in his 50s, whose identity is being withheld from court filings for fear of retaliation. Attorneys for the man, who, by the way, speaks 5 languages and worked as a translator for Marines collecting intelligence in Iraq. The attorney says he was preparing to come home to the U.S. on annual leave when he was abducted by the U.S. military and held without justification, while his family knew nothing about his whereabouts or even whether or not he was still alive. The U.S. government says he was suspected of helping pass classified information to the enemy and helping anti-coalition forces get into Iraq, but he was never charged with a crime. He says he never broke the law, and he was, in fact, risking his life to help his country. What do you want to bet that he's probably a... he either is or is not an American citizen, but I'll guarantee you that he is foreign-born, possibly Middle Eastern, possibly with an Islamic-sounding name or an Arabic-sounding name. Court papers filed on his behalf say he was repeatedly, quote, abused, end quote, while being held at Camp Cropper. That's the U.S. military facility that contains torture apparatus near the Baghdad airport. It was dedicated during the height of the Iraq War to holding what were called high-value detainees. He was suddenly released, this man, without explanation in August of 2006. 2 years later, he filed suit in U.S. District Court in Washington, arguing that Rumsfeld personally approved torture interrogation techniques on a case-by-case basis. Jesus God, what a vicious son of a bitch, huh? You know, if it ever comes out about Rumsfeld, he's not going to be in the same class of demons as the Nazi high command, but he will be damn close to it. Donald Rumsfeld, you pig. I hope this guy lives long enough that he can be he can be sued. Of course, this is a civil suit, but that means you don't have to get a guilty verdict. You do not have to prove beyond reasonable doubt. You just have to prove with a preponderance of evidence. This is a trial I'm looking forward to. We'll be back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. Welcome back. It is 7 past the hour. The Molloy Program. And once again, let me just mention this. The program is being underwritten this week, next week, by Farm Aid 2011. If you get a chance, go to their website, farmaid.org. That's where you can go on the 13th of this month, on a Saturday, and watch and listen to, I think they'll be streaming video too, the concert from Kansas City, Kansas. Of course, if you can make it to that concert and get a ticket, and who wouldn't? God, I'd love to go. But just can't do it. Anyway, if you can get there live, do that. If you can't, it'll be at their website. And as I mentioned before, Farm Aid has been going, I think this is the 26th year or 25th year. Willie Nelson and friends and family, their efforts to help keep family farmers on their land. And I don't have to tell you why, you know why that's important. This time, there is a, if you go to the website, there's a form that you can fill out to send to your senator.
You can do it online.
Yeah, you can do it online, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, and Kathy said you can do it online. Well, of course. No, no, nobody thinks that. You just, there's a form you fill out and click send. That's all. Go on, Kathy. Anyway, to let your senator know it's time to support family farmers and ranchers instead of constantly continuing to aid the factory farmers or the agribusinesses that are doing absolutely nothing for the country except making us sick. I don't have to get too deep into that because you already know about it. And also, BioWillie Biodiesel, Sustainable Biodiesel Alliance. We might have somebody on next week to talk about that. It is important. I know a lot of people are just over it, like unwilling to consider the idea that there may be some ways out of this mess. I was trying to get to that during the first hour of the program tonight. We may be perched on the lip of the abyss, but we haven't gone over yet. You know, there is still time. I'm reminded of you remember that movie On the Beach, Neville Shute's book and a movie with Gregory Peck and Ava Gardner, and good Lord, I can remember every scene in that movie. Came out in the 60s, right? But at the very end, remember the banner that had been hanging over a little village square in a town in Australia where the movie was set, or the novel was set also, because Neville Shute was an Australian. But the banner that said, I believe it said, there is still time, brother. Remember that? This is back in the bad old days of the height of the Cold War between the United States and the Soviet Union, right around the time of the Cuban Missile Crisis and yada, yada, yada. And that was, I've said this before on the air, that was when I bought my first handgun during the Cuban Missile Crisis, because I was convinced we were going to have a thermonuclear exchange and civilization was going to break down, and I had a wife and a baby at the time, and I had to do something to protect him, right? Because the hordes were going to come. We lived out in the country from Toledo, and I just knew that the hordes of crazed, hungry, mad, insane, radioactive people, like some horror movie, were going to come streaming out of Toledo. So I bought a .38 Spanish revolver, and that was my protection. Whew. Good God in heaven. But anyway, in that movie, that sign, that banner, there's still time, brother. And I can't help but think about that sometimes when I'm going on and on and on about some of the stuff that we go on and on and on about on this program, there is still time. There is still time to turn so much of this around, but not, in my opinion anyway, not with the current political system we have, not with the current economic system we have, certainly not with the two political parties that we have now. These sons of bitches are doing nothing but trying to push us over the abyss. To what end? I have no idea, except maybe they're insane. They're crazy. And I'm not backtracking and say, oh, well, no, wait a minute. Maybe we can get these Democrats and Republicans. You know, to hell with the Democrats and the Republicans. Straight to hell with them. Every single one of them. Because they have had chance after chance after chance to show that they're capable of leadership. And apparently they are not. So it's time to move on. But move on to what? Or move on in what manner? I guess that's what I'm getting to. I don't think anybody in this country wants an open, bloody revolution. Second or third revolution. I don't think that's what we're talking about. I don't think we want to face the massive power of the security state in which we now live. Because if we do that, we're going to lose. You know it as well as I do. And there are people in the upper echelons of the ruling class in this country who would not hesitate to open fire on American citizens. I remember during the Tiananmen Square, the big argument back then, was it 89? The big argument, well, the People's Liberation Army will never open fire on Chinese citizens. It is, they can't. It is not in their genetic makeup to open fire on their own people. Uh-huh. That was shortly before they opened fire on their own people. And it can happen here, too. Don't kid yourself, truth seeker. Don't kid yourself. You know, this massive security state that has been set up over the past 35, 40 years, especially in the last 10 or 15, maybe 20, it is merciless. So, open, violent, bloody revolution, obviously, at this point, anyway, is not the way to go. You know, all these morons running around the woods with their camo and their, you know, their semi-automatic assault weapons and whatever. Are you kidding me? You know, take one squad of Marines to wipe out the entire Michigan militia in about 15 minutes. You know, that's what always pissed me off about these people, you know, jumping and running around with their phony-ass little target practice and their jiu-jitsu exercises. Like, you know, you're going to stop who? Who are you going to stop? You couldn't stop a SWAT squad, much less a squad of Marines who came out to clean your asses out. So that's not the way to go. That was just some kind of crazy theater for these most of whom were right-wing racist types. At least the ones I was familiar with. We've got them here in Georgia, too. But so I don't think rational people are talking about open, bloody revolution because it would be pretty hard to succeed. There's got to be a different way. And if it takes nonviolent resistance, nonviolent resistance that is ongoing, that is disruptive, with the understanding there are going to be some heads knocked, there are going to be some people that are going to go to jail. Going and getting arrested for acts of civil disobedience is not all that bad. I mean, it really is not. You're not somebody who's just, you know, committed a murder or an assault. You're standing up for your country. I'm not sure what's going to happen, but something has got to.
Tell more jokes and dancing.
new car, and it drives just like a dream. I've got money and can buy.
End Your Day Screaming with Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. I've got hey, we've got some open lines tonight if you want to call in. 877-996-2556 is the number. 877-996-2556. From Prairie 2, yesterday, this is Journey to the Center of the Earth. Dun-dun-dun. It's like we need music on this one. Yesterday, it looked as if the markets had stabilized in the last hour of the trading, and the Asian markets followed by moving up sharply early today. But as dawn swept across Europe, things began to fall apart, with the markets there dropping 3.5%. The specter of the European banks collapsing and dragging down banks in the U.S. spooked already jittery markets here. So the Dow dropped over 500 points today, or 4.25%, and the Nasdaq lost even more, 5%. Today, the last hour of trading saw the markets drop sharply. It's probably not going to be a good day in the Far East. The talking point is that the markets are worried about the about jobs and consumer spending, and imply it's Obama's fault somehow and not the imminent collapse of the euro and the world's banking system. All commodities also were down sharply, with West Texas Intermediate crude oil losing 6%. Even gold was down significantly. The U.S. dollar is gaining strength, and the old axiom still applies, cash is king. Market newsletters are reportedly advising people to sell and stay in cash. On this advice, market volume was heavy today. That's the good news. Heavy volume indicates that somebody is still buying. The market really crashes when there is extremely light volume and no one will buy at any price. If people keep selling, the buyers will evaporate at some point, but the bulk of stocks are held by institutions and they have their own rules, or the panic would be worse. There's so much cash on hand that the big banks are taking advantage of the crisis, the free market, of course, and they are charging large depositors a fee for holding their cash. Remember when you put money in the bank and they paid you? The stock market may be heading for the center of the earth, but the companies that the stock represents are doing just fine, with last quarter profits way up and trillions in cash on hand. If you are a CEO, there's nothing to worry about. If you are in the bottom 99.9%, things are getting interesting in that Chinese curse sort of way. A lot of Republicans who think they have some real money will find they are just the right size fish that the big fish find tasty. Republicans in the Senate have been forced by the public outcry to go along with Senate Democrats to pass an extension to FAA funding until they come back from their break. This will put about 150,000 people back to work and will help keep the job numbers from spiraling out of control. The union killing rules included in the bill by Republicans in the House have not been waived. In fact, these rules intended to kill unions in all areas of transportation were already in effect since the Bush crime family was given the government to loot by the five Supreme Court godfathers. Republicans just want the good old days back again, and it was the Obama administration that changed the rules in favor of unions, democracy, and apple pie. This all was, of course, simply a grand conspiracy between Obama, the House Republicans, and the Senate Democrats to create a crisis based on the pretense of the Democrats being pro-union. This crisis nearly crashed the economy and may still do that in September once the Democrats have convinced their dull-witted base that they aren't all really working for the same people who control the Republican puppets. Prairie2.com. He always makes my night just filled with light and joy. Well, no, is it a mortician or an economist who practices the dismal trade? Which one is it? I'm not sure. Morticians? And prairie, too, of course, is the closest thing that we have to a an economist on this program. And, you know, I mean, he does just fine as far as I'm concerned. His columns are free. So. All right, we have a break here. When we come back, we're going to take some phone calls. So do stick around. If you're on hold, we're going to get you as soon as we come back. You know the deal has been worked out to reopen the FAA, right? Okay. I looked at so many reports about the FAA debacle and found very little that mentioned Delta's involvement. New York Times had it, but so many online sites didn't even mention that Delta was behind the whole thing. We'll be right back.
I'm crazy, crazy for feeling so blue. I knew that you'd love me as long as you wanted. And then someday you'd leave me for somebody new.
There are many.
I guess I'll see you around. Don't know when though. Never know when I'll be.
He's the primal scream you suppress. Embrace your inner liberal warrior with Mike Malloy.
But remember.
Oh, that sounds so macho. 25 before the hour. Breaking news here from Prairie 2. The Asian markets are open and they're all down 4% at their opening. Yikes. He includes economics is the dismal science, not mortuary science. A common term used to denigrate economic theory in the Victorian age because economists had pointed out that uncontrolled population growth would outstrip the food supply. They didn't allow for modern warfare. For sure. Douglas is in Sacramento. Hello, Douglas.
Hello, Mike. It's good to talk to you again.
My pleasure.
We've met before, you know. I was in Yoshi's in San Francisco.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The Green 960 thing.
Yeah, I remember that.
And I remind you, I was at the Crest in Sacramento way back when you were there.
The theater, yeah.
Right.
Well, I'll be darned.
Mm-hmm. So I'm still out here and I'm still listening.
Well, thank you very much for that.
I cut back a little bit. I haven't been calling in as much. I've tried a few times, but I haven't gotten through. But basically, I just had an epiphanous moment where I was sitting and thinking one night about the show and what I said, and I realized, compared to me, Mike is an optimist.
Okay.
And
well,
I couldn't live my life that way, Mike.
I have to be to some degree. I know a lot of people listening to this program would never, ever come to the conclusion I'm an optimist. Mm-hmm. But like I said earlier tonight, I was trying to say that we're on the brink, but we haven't pitched over yet. I'm not an optimist about the political/economic system that we have in place here. I'm not an optimist about that at all. But I believe that we're capable of adapting and changing.
Oh, I believe that too. But my point was, it was a personal revelation because I was getting deeper and darker with every time I called in.
Mm-hmm.
So I just had to cut back from that because it wasn't doing me much good. But I still believe and I still listen. And I had a new word I thought up for you. Republicide.
What is it?
Republicide.
Republicide. Oh, my God.
It works as a noun or a verb.
Yeah, I'm right. I'm going to commit republicide. Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Well, I like that word.
And how about Republicant.
Republicant. That's Republic won't. Well, no, Republicant. Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, I was thinking more along the lines of language, as in Republic speak. Hey, that's a good one, too.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, but anyway, I'm so glad you're still there, and I was kind of cheered up when I had trouble getting through, because it meant you were still popular. And possibly enhancing in popularity.
Well, I, you know, you never know in this crazy business, but no, we're still here. I still consider that we have about 38, 39 listeners, and that's cool. I mean, that's cool. This is, you know, this
well,
30
is... 30 now.
Huh?
30.
40? 30?
I'm still here. Yeah.
Well, that's true, yeah. And anything beyond that scares the hell out of me anyway. So as long as I envision, you know, anywhere from 35 to 40 listeners, we're all set.
Yep, we'll save the country, Mike. I know it.
Okay, there you go. All right, Douglas, thanks.
Thanks for all the Willie Nelson.
Yeah. I've always have liked his music, and now that they're underwriting the program for 2 weeks, it gave me a chance to get back into that. I just like it. I never looked at Willie Nelson that much as a country performer, although his writing was certainly in that genre. But even so, I mean, there's some parts of country music I just love. It just no other genre expresses some of this stuff the way a so-called country does.
Yeah, well, if he's out there, if he's underwriting the show, I'm going to go out and buy an album.
There you go. All right.
it goes around, comes around.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? All right, thanks.
Okay, love to everybody.
All right, sir, take care. Take care. This is from Amy in the Twin Cities. Well, Mike and Kathy, my political Tourette's hit an all-time low today when one of my patients, remember, I work in Michelle that crazy Bachman's territory, one of my patients told me about a relative who was going to Lebanon to help the Muslim women there by introducing them to Jesus Christ. Should I give up now or what? Signed, yours, Amy, in the Twin Cities. Oh, my God. Yeah. Okay. And, you know, Lebanon, I guess you can still get away with trying to introduce Muslim women to Jesus. What you might do, Amy, is suggest that this woman tell her relative that Lebanon is already filled with Christians. She ought to try doing that in Afghanistan, where they really need such an introduction. Of course, that would mean that your client would remain, or your patient would remain as such for probably a long time, because that would be the end of her relative, if you know what I'm talking about. Jeremy's in Huntington Beach, California. Hello, Jeremy.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm all right.
Good.
I'm really good, only at pointing out the really obvious, not very complex, apparently. So imagine that the 2008 election was lost on purpose by McCain, and the whole idea is, you know, what we see, for example, in the debt debate, so-called, is a good cop, bad cop game between Obama, the Tea Party, and the, you know, mainstream Republicans. That's really how I see it. Well, give me a break. I mean, this guy gave more than he ever, than the Republicans ever would have.
I'm not disagreeing. Here's kind of my bottom line take on that. I kind of agree with you. I don't see a grand design where Boehner and Obama and the teabaggers and all these freaks sit down and work out their strategies. What I see is that all of them, whether they consider themselves Democrats, Republicans, neo-fascists, teabaggers, whatever, and including Barack Obama, they all see themselves as responding to the forces that control them. And the forces that control them, and you don't have to be a conspiracy theorist here, it's fact, the forces that control them are those forces that are deeply embedded in the capitalist system and that has all the money. The top 1%, 0.5%, whatever it is. I mean, where did Barack Obama go a couple of months ago to try to raise money? He went to New York to meet with the financiers, the people who have utterly and absolutely destroyed the country. And
well,
go ahead.
What does that show you? I mean, it's not a capitalist system. You know, Barack, when capital buys politicians that make government policy to eliminate competition, I mean, that's not capitalism.
Well, sure it is.
You know what I mean?
What would you call it?
I would call it Stalinism. I mean, you know, I don't
Well, please remember that Stalinism, you're getting into the cult of personality. I'm talking about strictly an economic system. Capitalism says you buy or you sell anything and everything that you can, and the ultimate goal of capitalism is to dominate the political system, because the political system and the economic system in a rational society are usually at loggerheads with each other occasionally, because the political system is trying to undo or prevent the damage that the economic system is going to perform on the entire society. So if you are a capitalist and you figure out a way to buy the political system, that's the only way you're going to get it, is buy it. Capitalists don't have revolutions, per se. They just buy everything. So it is capitalism, Jeremy. It's purely and simply.
I'm with you. It's so hypocritical when you see these freaks, these Tea Party freaks, talk about, you know, capitalism when, you know, they don't know what they're talking about.
Anybody that would call Barack Obama a socialist, that's all you have to hear. All you have to hear is four words out of the mouths of these pigs. Obama is a socialist. Once you hear that, you know everything you need to know about them, their entire lives, their religious points of view, what their grandchildren look like, how much money they have in the bank, and the fact that they're all going straight to hell. That's all you need to hear is those four words.
Yeah, it's true. And I see such a parallel, again, the obvious, that, you know, between, like, Greece. I mean, this is basically financiers, right, that, like, the mm-hmm. ratings agencies who put us in this mess by grading derivatives at AAA.
Right.
They basically caused this mess. And their little boys who spent all of this money on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So you purposely spend an entire nation into debt. And in my view, purposely lose the election so you could blame it all on the black guy,
mm-hmm.
and then use it to basically sell off all of our assets like they did in Wisconsin, like taking over the state's industry, you know, the energy industry.
Right.
You know, these are people who cut taxes, and then the resulting deficits, then they actually use that to privatize everything.
Doesn't that piss you off?
Oh, that does not sum it up, man. I'm telling you.
I know. No, I hear you, Jeremy. Hey, I got a break here. Thanks, Jeremy. I appreciate what you had to say. Thanks a lot for checking in, pal. Take care.
Well, hello there. It's been a long, long time. How am I doing? Oh, I guess that I'm doing fine. It's been so long now, but it seems now that it was only yesterday. Gee, ain't it funny how time slips. If you can truthfully say that you've been true just one day, well, that makes one in a row, one in a row.
Ted, before the hour,
one in a row.
Once again, just a quick word about
and if you can look
Farm Aid 2011. It occur Saturday week, August 13th in Kansas City, Kansas. And Farm Aid 2011 is underwriting this program this week and next week. Also, biodiesel, sustainable biodiesel allowance, alliance, BioWilly and the Sustainable Biodiesel Alliance. We're going to be talking more about biodiesel next week. Please go to farmaid.org. For a couple of things. First of all, it's a good place to go on the 13th to enjoy the concert. Secondly, there are forms, or there's a form on that website that you can fill in to let your senators know that you want them to support independent farms and ranches instead of corporate agribusinesses that are destroying everything they touch. Everything. So, our thanks to Farm Aid. And please check it out, okay? Y'all are familiar with this. They've been doing this for a quarter of a century. Trying to help, and helping small family-owned farms. Not necessarily small, but family-owned farms. Check them out, okay? Thank you. Tracy is in Sherman Oaks, California. Hello, Tracy.
Hi, Mike. First-time caller. I've been listening to you for all of 2 weeks now. Really excited.
Okay. Well, thanks.
No, I just really like your show. I like what you have to say. And like I was telling Kathy, I'm still sitting here waiting about this 12-level game of chess our president is supposed to be playing. And if I hear one more time, well, you know, the Bush tax cuts are going to expire in 2013, and we'll have revenue then. I'm like, okay, so that is how many months away? And you're assuming that Obama's going to be reelected.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want to know what am I supposed to do now? Because, you know, they're like, well, he didn't cut Medicare, he didn't cut Social Security and all that. I said, but what about the stuff that he did cut that nobody's talking about? And then what's happening with the FAA? I'm going to be flying a lot this month. Mm-hmm. I want my plane to stay in the air.
I hear that.
Yeah,
I definitely hear that. Well, the FAA thing apparently was resolved at some point today. I don't know the fine point, the details. And I think the way media reported it was less than honest because they didn't report the issue that Delta Airlines had been trying to cram and succeeded in cramming down the throats of their Republican colleagues in the House. This was a union destroying bill, and all this talk about, well, it was about these little airports where the tickets have to be subsidized by the federal government. That was the smokescreen. That was the cover story. What it was all about was assisting Delta in stopping workers in the various parts of their organization from organizing. So I don't know what was worked out today, how many working people were tossed under the bus. I do know that the thing has been, at least on the surface, solved, so 150,000 people can go back to work.
It is, you know, it is utterly ridiculous. The people that we, well, some people elected into office, these jerks go on vacation and leave 140,000 people flying in the wind, trying to figure out how they're going to pay their
money. Right.
Is that enough that there are people who, I drive a cab in L.A., so my living depends on other people having money to go somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you know, I can't do anything for free, but they expected these people to, you know, inspectors and whatnot, to go to work for free.
I know.
It's unbelievable.
It's crazy. The Republicans have never been understanding of or friendly, if that's the right word, to the working class or the middle class. And now it's turning out, at least in my experience, that fewer and fewer Democratic politicians are following what Democrats were all about 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago. Democrats were that was the political party of the working class, the middle class, people.
Exactly.
who aspired to improve themselves, improve their lot and their kids and their grandkids. Not anymore. It just seems like they're, you know, two parties that have the same masters. And it's a shame, but the political system is dead.
It's a part of the master plan. You destroy unions and you make higher education unattainable because you price people out of it. And then so you have nobody, you know, you don't have a strong, you know, people in a strong union that they have a strong, you know, economic background so they can, you know, lift themselves up either because of a union or because of education. So you have a permanent underclass.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be living in a fiefdom if we don't do anything. I don't think I would look good as a surf or anything like that. And I sure as hell am not going back to Africa because I don't know anybody there. You know, maybe I could run up on a Barack family and knock on the door and say, you know, hey, what's up, cousin? But, you know, like I told somebody the other day, you know, I'm a black woman. And I said, no, I can't go back to Africa. I'm not an African-American. If you really want to get down to it, I am an American of slave descent.
I hear that.
I don't know nobody back in Africa, and I ain't going there.
Right, right. Well,
I have no problems, but, hey, I ain't, you know.
No,
I'm going to stay here.
I hear you, Tracy. I hear you. You know, we're in a mess, and America is in a mess.
It is a mess, but I'm not going to give up.
I don't want to give up either. I've talked and talked about giving up or moving out of the country, moving to Canada, moving here, going there, saying to hell with it. I can't do it anymore. But no, not yet. I haven't reached that point yet. Tracy, they're about to play the music to tell me to get out of here. Listen, thank you. I'm glad you found the program. I hope you'll call in again. Thanks, Tracy. I appreciate it. We are about out of time, folks, so I guess I'll leave it there. TGIF tomorrow. Thank goodness. All right. Listen, have a good night, okay? Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. Say good night, Kathy.
Good night, Kathy. Justin.